If you're following along, turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. I'll read one verse as kind of my text verse for this morning. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 10. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. But, that's what makes this a proverb.
Yeah,
but, and I should say a contrasting proverb. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel.
Exactly.
Now, as we seen last week, in a proverb, there's often far more than meets the eye. A proverb is one of those passages, and Earl used to call it something along the line of artistic license and a spiritual artistic license, but a proverb is actually one of those passages where you can take the words to mean far more than what the words themselves say.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people try to proverbialize all kinds of other scripture.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Exactly.
Because when God says, thus saith the Lord,
right,
then He's meaning exactly what He's saying, and we have no right to say, we believe it really means this. No, it means exactly what He says. And even the Proverbs mean exactly what they say, but they often picture or symbolize something greater or something more or maybe even something different. Okay? So this proverb says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. But notice it didn't say, but the wicked man doesn't. That's not the point. It said, but the wicked. You see it? But the tender mercies, rather, of the wicked are cruel.
Exactly.
I mean, that is, to me, it just, I'd have never thought of that.
Yeah.
I could have never come up with that. My mind does not work that way because my mind is bent toward stark contrasts without such sarcasm.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm just far too blunt, you know. I have trouble with the thing of be wise as serpents but harmless as doves. I have trouble with that. Sometimes I feel more like, was it James and John? Which was it? Somebody called the sons of thunder?
Yeah.
So let's just call fire down from God out of heaven right now and consume these people. I relate to that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's right, but I relate to that.
Yeah.
I understand that attitude all too well.
Yeah.
But again, in a proverb, there's often more than just meets the eye. For instance, turn to Proverbs 8. And you'll see that it's quite clear. Everyone here probably already knows this, but Proverbs 8. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places. And so it talks about wisdom. And those things mean wisdom.
Yes, sir.
But then we see this very wisdom then in verse 22 through 36 personified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is wisdom personified. In other words, you want to find out what is wisdom? Look at Him.
Amen.
You'll see what wisdom really is.
Yeah.
And when you see that kind of wisdom, you will see that wisdom is not so easy as just to be able to reach out here and lay hold of it.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen that way. So there's often more than meets the eye. And in this proverb, Proverbs chapter 8, being especially one of the long proverbs, it clearly defines this, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Clearly defines this. And there is no question that the last verses of Proverbs 8 are speaking of our Lord. The only people who would refuse that or reject that are people who hate Him to start with.
That's it. Exactly.
That's the only reason they would reject that. It's far, far too evident from the scriptural words there. So, there may be multiple applications from one proverb.
Yeah.
Right? Go back to chapter 12 again, just one verse after my text verse. Look at it. Chapter 12, verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. Simple enough, right?
Yep.
You till the land, you sow seed, you put forth effort, you're going to eat. But he that followeth an empty person is void of understanding. Do you see that? Now, that means exactly what it says.
Yes, sir.
But it also applies into many things. In other words, engage the work. Engage the work. What are you going to see? You will see results. They may not be the results you always expect.
Yeah.
They may not be the results you always personally desire, but engage the work, there will be results.
Yes, sir.
Follow an empty person, a self-serving person. What are you going to have then? Emptiness.
Exactly.
So you're going to have emptiness. You see, even if another person never believes the gospel, we're to preach the gospel simply for preaching the gospel's sake.
Amen.
I often become discouraged. And I try not to sit around all the time and talk about this because it discourages me even more when I sit around and talk about being often discouraged. But I often become discouraged because people that don't know us, they see me standing here in this corner. They don't know what in the world's going on. What I do, I'm looking out here and I see a couple handfuls of people. It's been that way for years. It's been that way for years. 30 years I've been standing in this place with you people. 30 years. It's always been about like this. Sometimes a few more, sometimes a few less. But it's always been what? About right here. But you know what? Sometimes that's discouraging. And yet I think of Noah preaching for 120 years and only 7 other people believed, and they were his family members,
yeah,
either directly or by marriage.
Yeah.
120 years. And while he was doing that, he was building a massive boat.
Yeah.
And then my shame begins to flood over my soul.
Yeah.
You know why? Well, I know God Almighty put me right here. And I know God Almighty has right here exactly what God Almighty wants right here at this particular point of time.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And that's the only thing that keeps me sane.
Yeah.
And keeps me going. Because there are times it's like, well, why should I stay there? Have you ever thought about that? Now, maybe you haven't. Maybe you have. I'm not saying you have to, but sometimes it's like, why are you there? Because God put me here.
Amen.
But here's the thing. Engage the work.
Yes.
You'll see benefits. You'll see results.
Yes, sir.
It may not be what you always expect,
no,
but if you sit on your backside, you will see nothing.
Exactly. Yeah.
You see now what I'm talking about? Yeah. It has more than one application. Now, it means that literally, you go out and till the ground, God's going to give you some bread to eat.
Yeah.
It'll happen. Now, granted, there'll be seasons of drought. There'll be seasons of... But if you go out and engage in the work, go out and sow the seed, Paul, and till the ground, God's going to give you some beans or some potatoes. He's going to give you something to eat. But if you get lazy and start following empty people, you know what's going to happen? You're void of understanding.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So engage the work. And this is true in all aspects of creation. Whether it's salvation, whether it's in your job, no matter what it is. Don't sit back on your keister and say, well, if God's, it's all by grace anyway, so I'll just wait until God decides to bless me. That's dangerous ground to stand
yes,
on. There are times when God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't there?
Yes, sir.
And then there's times when he says, get up and move forward.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Exactly. So the key is doing what God says
when
God says it.
Yeah.
Not trying to make everything fit into some Calvinistic school of thought.
Right.
But have it flow from the commands of God in the Scripture. My text is one of these similar proverbs. Think of it, just a couple, three things. First of all, God regards the life of all his creation.
Yes, sir.
And actually, if you look, man is actually put in there.
Yeah.
Now, it does say, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but man is not there. In other words, this is a principle through a righteous being, a righteous person, a righteous man, a righteous woman, they'll regard the life of their beast.
Yeah.
You know what he's saying?
Yeah.
And God regards the life of his creation. He sustained it. For at least, what we know of, at least 6,000 years of biblical history.
Yeah.
At least that. Maybe even more. But at least 6,000 years of biblical history. He sustained his creation even after the fall.
Yes, sir.
And Scripture says that He causes the rain to come down on the just and the unjust.
Amen.
He feeds unbelievers as well as believers.
Right.
And He gives them all things richly to enjoy.
Yeah.
Believers or unbelievers. God regards the life of His creation. Think about it. He suffered an ass to speak out when Balaam was beating it.
That's right.
I mean, God said, don't go.
Yeah.
And Balaam kept on and kept on. And God said, all right, well, then go ahead then. That's basically what happened.
Yeah. All of that.
But He already told Balaam, you don't be going down there. But he just kept, and Balaam kept nagging and kept nagging. God said, go on. And on the way down, the angel stood in the way. And the beast was enabled to see that angel with that sword. And you remember, it kicked and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall.
Yep.
And Balaam knocked the fire out of that beast.
Uh-huh.
And he'd done it a couple times. And finally, God opens the beast's mouth and said, why do you hit me?
That's right.
It was basically the beast was saving Balaam's life.
That's exactly right.
Huh? Attempting to, at least. Trying to avoid the angel of God's wrath.
Mm-hmm.
The beast seen what even Balaam couldn't see. And the beast spoke out. But what did Balaam basically say? Well, I could have killed you.
Yeah.
You see how the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel?
That's exactly.
Balaam then speaks to his ass and says, well, I could have killed you. All I did was hit you.
Yeah.
No. God legislated even concerning animals. Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
You could, a few of the passages, Exodus 20, verses 10 and 11. Exodus 23, verses 4 and 5. He even gave legislation under the Mosaic law concerning birds and their nests.
Yep.
If you had a piece of land and there was a bird and a nest on it, there were certain ways you were supposed to conduct yourself toward that bird and her nest and her eggs.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's in Deuteronomy 22, 6 and 7. And then in Deuteronomy 25, verse 4, he said, don't you muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads the corn. In other words, feed the ox its daily ration every day. But even when it's doing its job and it's going around, don't muzzle it. Let it eat what it wants while it's doing the work.
There you go.
You see that? And then Paul comes along and applies that to the gospel ministry.
Yes, sir.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He comes and applies that to the gospel ministry. Truly, a righteous man regards the life of his beast. God ordained creatures' lives and deaths. Our Lord said in Matthew 10, verses 29 through 31, He said, not a sparrow falls to the ground without your Father.
Amen.
That sparrow's life is engaged and sustained and kept. As long as it's there, it's kept by God Almighty Himself.
Yes, sir.
Every breath that little bird takes is a gift from God to that creature. And God sustains it. But what does fallen man do? I like what Earl said one time. Man is one of the only creatures that will filth his own nest.
Yeah. That's right.
There's very few creatures that will do their business. You know what I'm talking about. Go to the bathroom in its own nest.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's what we'll do. It's what we are by fallen nature. We'll foul our own nest.
That's right.
That's what we are. But let me move on. There's another application here. The believer, because truly righteous people, that's believers. Believers are declared to be righteous. As a matter of fact, it says, God made Him, that is, God the Father made the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be what? Not just imputed righteousness. We are imputed righteousness by faith. But we're more than imputed righteousness by faith. If imputed righteousness by faith was all we needed, Christ didn't have to die. Think about that.
Yeah.
If all we needed was the imputed righteousness of faith, then why did Christ die?
Yeah.
Why didn't God just impute righteousness to us by the gift of faith and be done with it? Why? Because we had sin in the way. And God made Him, the Son, to be sin for us. That is, the Son, Nuno, the one who knew no sin, that we might be what? Made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
I am made the very righteousness of God. Do I see it? No, but I believe it because God says so.
Yes. Amen.
And I am made the very righteousness of God in Him.
Yes,
That is, in my standing in Christ, I am as holy as God's Son Himself.
Yes,
I don't have a legal righteousness.
No.
I got a deity righteousness.
Amen. That's it.
I got a deity righteousness. So the believer acknowledges God's sovereign hand even in the animals that's under that believer's care. I mean, you got a believer, he's got a farm, he takes care of his animals. You feed them. You water them. Mason, sometimes you build barns for them to get in out of the weather. They take care of them. Why? Because they realize God Almighty gives life and takes life, and it's all in His sovereign hand, and we bow down before it with responsibility, Mason.
Yeah.
With responsibility. Knowing that we are accountable under God. But the best ways of unbelievers rejects God's will and places creation under human will and human law. That's cruelty.
Yeah.
You know, if, and it is an impossible if. I acknowledge that. But if we could walk according to God's ordained law, both Sinai and natural, this world would be paradise. Do you know that?
Yes, sir.
This world would be paradise, but we can't.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have to interject our will and our way and our rules and our laws and even our best ones are cruelty.
That's right.
They're cruelty. But here's the third one. And here's what I want to kind of zero in on. Christ is the righteous one. You could say in the Hebrew, a righteous one regardeth the life of his beast. You can put it that way. That's the way it could actually be rendered. A righteous one regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Let me say to you, Christ has some beasts.
Yes,
sir. Doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
Now, even the Arminians acknowledge that Christ has some beasts and are called what? What are they called, David? Right? Sheep. Right?
Yes, sir.
He's got some sheep. Even Arminians acknowledge that there's some sheep. But what do they do? Well, here's what you need to do to become a sheep.
That's exactly it.
And I'm here to say that may sound like tender mercies.
Yeah.
But that's cruel.
Yes, indeed.
That's cruel. A fallen, depraved, God-hating beast as myself, that I could do something to gain the favor of a thrice holy God? It may sound good, but truly the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Do something to gain God's favor?
Yeah.
Oh, God in eternity, look down into time and seeing who would, ... And then they fill in whatever they think you, God seeing you would do.
Yeah.
And it's always some good spiritual thing. He seen you would believe, or He seen you would repent.
Yeah.
They're not in our repertoire.
Exactly.
Believing God is not within my power. Repentance is not within my power. Obedience to God is not within my power. It must come from God.
Amen.
Christ the righteous one, He regards the life of His beast. You know that?
Yeah.
He regards the life of His beast. But Antichrist religion, and you know, Arthur Pink, a lot of places he said in the Old Testament, when it talks about the wicked, he said that means Antichrist. So think of it that way. A righteous one regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of Antichrist are cruel.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And what is Antichrist after all? What is it really? Remember, John says, it'll be a person. Why? Because this book says so.
Yeah.
The man of sin.
Yeah.
The son of perdition. All singular. It's a person. But there's a spirit that motivates that person. John calls it the spirit of Antichrist, and it's been in the world for a long, long time.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And what it is it's that which tells men and women, if you just do this or that, you can gain God's favor. That is a tender, sounds like a tender mercy, but it's cruel.
Yes, sir. It is.
It's cruel. Think of it. Christendom's tender mercy. When I say Christendom, that's what I'm talking about, Antichrist religion.
Yep.
It may have the name of Christian, but it's Antichrist. It's
right.
Against His gospel.
Yep.
It's against His Son. That's what they are. Christendom's tender mercy is do this or do that, and you can be a sheep. Christendom's tender mercy constantly pleads, you need to get saved. That may sound simple enough. But those of us who know the truth ought to put that kind of language out of our repertoire.
Yeah.
Because the book nowhere ever talks about getting saved. It says you have to be saved.
Amen.
That's the whole difference. Getting saved means something I do. Being saved means something God does.
Amen.
And that's the difference between the gospel of Christ and the perverted gospel of Antichrist.
Yes, sir.
But let me ask you this question. What? Now think about it. What is the first manifestation of a sheep as a sheep?
Yeah.
What's the first one? Anybody want to answer that? What's the first manifestation of a sheep as a sheep?
Yeah.
My mind at first was, well, that my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. But that's not the first manifestation of a sheep as a sheep. The first manifestation of a sheep as a sheep is found in Isaiah 53, verse 6, the first part. All we, like sheep, have followed the Lord. We follow the Lord. Is that what it says? No. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. There's the first manifestation of a sheep as a sheep. It's a sheep who has gone astray. You see that? A lot of people want to be a sheep, but they don't want to admit, and will not admit, yea, cannot admit, well, I've gone astray.
Right?
They want to be one of the elect, one of the righteous man's beasts, but they want to do it by, they want to say they're that by some act of goodness or spiritual act on their part. No, the first thing in being able to call yourself one of Christ's beasts, one of his sheep, is to say, I'm a sheep that went astray.
That's right.
How many of those who get saved have ever really gone astray? Now, come on. How many people say, I got saved? How many of them have ever really went astray? How many of them have ever been the prodigal son in the hog pen who finally comes to himself and say, I've wasted my father's substance with riotous living and I'm fed up with this. I will arise and go to my father.
Exactly.
How many people do that? No, most people decide they're just going to give their heart to Jesus. Yeah. If you're going to give it to Jesus, wouldn't you think it's a pretty good thing? See, that's the difference between God's sheep don't cry out. They don't cry out, oh Lord, here's my heart, take it from me. No, it's, oh God, give me a clean heart. What does the sheep, one of God's sheep say? Create within me a clean heart, oh God.
Amen.
That's what the sheep cry out. Why? Because the sheep's first manifestation of a sheep as a sheep is that they go astray.
Yeah.
They go astray. Christ taught about having sheep, didn't he? He said, what man of you has 100 sheep? Which one does he really look after?
Yeah.
The one that is lost.
That's right.
Isn't that what he says?
Yeah.
You'll leave the 99 in the wilderness and go find the lost one.
Yeah.
Hunt for it. Trod up and down over hill and dale until you found what? That lost sheep. Our Lord said on many occasions, Matthew 10, 5 and 6, Matthew 18, 10 through 14, Luke chapter 10, 19 and verse 10, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. Have you ever been lost?
Exactly.
Yeah. If you ain't never been lost, then you ain't got no right to think you're one of the sheep yet.
That's right.
Because nobody is saved until they're first, what? Lost.
Amen.
He doesn't go saved ones.
That's right.
Saved ones don't need saving.
Yeah.
He saved lost ones.
Amen.
And until you're like the prodigal in the hog pen and become so sick of the hog pen, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
That's where it's at. It's not about, well, I came to the doctrines of grace. No, I ask you, have you ever been lost and the Savior, the shepherd of the sheep, come and found you? That's what I'm asking you. I'm not asking if you believe the right doctrines. That's all well and good, but you may still go to hell. But have you ever seen, I'm lost. I don't even know which way, Joe, to turn to start to get back.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And even my righteousness says, are as filthy rags in God's sight. The more I do, the more abominable I feel. The less I do, the more abominable I feel. When I try not to do, so I'll be a grace person, then I feel guilty because I don't do. But then when I do, I feel guilty that I'm not a grace person. And I feel guilty because I'm trying to do.
Yep.
You ever been there?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know there's some people say, well, just bless God, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just seeing all I can, and maybe I'm one of the elect, and I'll go to heaven. Well, let me tell you, one of the first signs of being a sheep is going astray and knowing it. But it's knowing it.
Yeah.
And the shepherd goes out and finds every lost sheep.
Amen.
You remember the Father, you know, when our Lord gave that in Luke 17, it is actually three parts of that message he gave. And the last one was, remember, the Father. That son got tired of the hog pen. He said, I'm going back. I want to tell my Father, just make me one of your hired servants. You know?
Yeah.
But what did the Father say? Rejoice with me, my son, which was dead. Is alive again.
Amen.
You see, you got to find out. God's got to show you first how dead you are.
That's right.
Before you ever experience life. You don't just come to know the doctrines of grace.
No.
It's not just coming to know the 5 points and, oh, I've got a profound thing. No, all you got's a bunch of doctrine.
Yeah.
You know why? Because there is another manifestation of a sheep as a sheep. Here's the second manifestation of a sheep as a sheep. Start turning to Psalms. Let's turn to the 23rd one. One of the manifestations of a sheep as a sheep is this. The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You don't worry about whether you're a sheep or not if you know the Lord's your shepherd.
That's right.
If the Lord is your shepherd, that automatically qualifies you as a what? A sheep.
Amen.
Huh? Yes, so there's two things in Scripture. God's sheep. The righteous man's beasts are what? Lost sheep. And then they're ones who, once they're found, they find out, the Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
I shall not want.
Amen.
It didn't say, now, I have plenty of pasture, therefore I shall not want. No, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Amen.
Do you see that? Think about it. Amen. Having the Lord as shepherd precedes want field.
That's right.
But most people want their wants filled, then they say, well, I'll let the Lord be my shepherd.
Amen.
It don't work that way.
Exactly.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the order.
Yeah.
He doesn't fill your wants first and then you let him be, or he becomes your shepherd. He is your shepherd because you were lost. You went astray. He came and found you, and you then realize he's my shepherd. And then you can say, once he's my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. That is your realization of it. You come to understand it. You come to trust it. You come to lean on him. Then you say, I shall not want. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things I'd like to have, but I lack nothing in this world.
Yes, sir.
You hear me?
Yeah.
And God may hold me to it, but if I lose everything I got, this very day, if the Lord is my shepherd, there might be a lot I'll miss. There might be a lot that I desire, but I will still, if he's my shepherd, I will still lack nothing. If he takes my home, he takes my wife, takes my health, if he's my shepherd, I shall not want. Because having him as the shepherd means I'm a sheep.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
that's right.
Think about this, verse 2. Look at it. He maketh me. I thought God didn't make people do anything. People need to quit lying on God and start telling the truth. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Think about this. Resting precedes walking.
Yes, sir.
You see that right there?
Yes, sir.
Resting precedes walking. You don't walk to rest. You rest so you can walk.
There you go.
Now, if you're a believer in Christ, you understand what I'm saying.
Yep.
Yep. We don't rest just to rest. We rest to walk. But resting always precedes the walking. Number three. Verse 3. Look at it. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Number 3. Restoration precedes righteous paths.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Most people think you walk on the righteous path first, then God will revive you, you know, restore you. No. It's the very fact that we're so prone to walk on the wrong path that we must be first restored so then we can walk.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
This is what it means to be a sheep,
yeah,
and to have the Lord as your shepherd.
That's right.
Look at another one here. Verses 4 and 6. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, that's the correcting, and thy staff, that's the guiding.
Yes, sir.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell where? In the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
In other words, endurance depends on Him.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't it? That's what that's teaching, doesn't it? Endurance. As a matter of fact, if the Lord is your shepherd, that's the only way it'll come.
That's exactly right.
Because every time you try to endure on your own, God will just let you see how miserable you are. He'll let you fail. Over and over. Every time we try to do it ourselves, guess what? You will fall.
You're right.
If you ever try to do the right thing, just so you can say, oh, boy, I'm doing the right thing, God will let you fall just so you do not rest in yourself. But truly, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. You see that? Surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me. It's got my back as well, Joe.
Yes, sir.
He's with me. He's right here. He's with me. But surely goodness still it's all following me right up. It's got my back. It's got my back. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How? All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Not just here, but forever. Here's another one. Let me give you this one. First part of verse 5, look at it. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Amen.
Our enemies cannot thwart Him.
That's exactly right.
You see that?
Amen.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Thou preparest a table before me, where? In the presence of mine enemies.
Yeah.
Listen to me. I know this is tough, because when it happens, we forget. When pain comes, when difficulty comes, we forget so easily and we murmur and complain just like the children of Israel did in the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
But an enemy cannot touch you. If he or she has touched you, then God Almighty suffered it to be so.
That's right.
And He's prayed for you for one reason.
Yeah.
What's the one thing Christ prays for His people?
Yeah.
I prayed for you that your faith fail not.
Amen.
That's a glory.
Amen.
That's a glory. And the last part of verse 5, what does it say? Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over.
Amen.
You know, most of the time I'm worried about what's being spilt.
Yeah.
Rather than glorying in the fact that it's running over.
There you go.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Don't you sometimes? You get aggravated because, but why all that waste? It ain't a waste. That stream, it just keeps coming and coming. And Joe, you get down and you drink it, and when you really see the truth, you thank God. I'm glad it don't just come out spurts. I'm glad it's just rushing. A lot of it may look like it's wasted, but no, it ain't wasted. But it's gushing forth. Think about it. His work. This is the meaning of the last part of verse 5. His work. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. His work is my utter fullness.
Yeah.
Do you see that? His work is my utter fullness. Scripture says we are complete. Where? Where are we complete?
Yeah.
In Him. You look at me, you're not going to see completion. One day, yes. One day. Got to wind all this up. One day, yes, but not right now. But I have a perfection. It's in him and his work.
Yes, sir.
And I just have to rest in that.
Yes, sir.
That's why we say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't see it. Do you see yourself as being complete in him? Do you? No. All so faulty. Now here's another one. Turn to Matthew 15 now. In other words, a righteous man, that is the righteous one, Jesus Christ, he regards the life of his beasts. Does he not?
That's right.
But there was a woman one time. A couple of the writers of the New Testament mentioned this woman. Matthew chapter, let me find it, chapter 15 and verse 21, isn't it? Let me look. I hope that's right. Where am I at? Matthew 15, 21. Yeah. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, there's one of them beholds, Joe.
Yeah.
A woman of what? Canaan.
Yeah.
A Canaanite.
Yeah.
Not an Israelite.
That's right.
A Canaanite.
Yeah.
A Gentile piece of garbage.
Yeah.
You understand that language? That's the old language. As a matter of fact, it's a Gentile dog.
Yeah.
Now look, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. Isn't it just amazing? The Lord just happened to be there.
Yep.
Wasn't she lucky? Huh? He knew exactly where he was going.
That's exactly right.
Because there was at least one woman there. He had to come, his path was going to cross her path.
Yes, sir.
Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and said unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Think of it. She wasn't even looking for something for herself so much.
That's right.
As she was looking for relief for a loved one. Wasn't she? And this is amazing when I read it, when I still think of it. But he answered her not a word. He ignored her.
Yes, he did.
Don't lose hope.
Amen.
You hear what I say?
Amen.
No matter how much you cry out, no matter how much you plead, no matter how much you try, no matter how much you fail, don't lose hope.
Amen.
Look, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. In other words, here's a person you couldn't easily shut her up. That's the kind of person we're talking about that's a real sheep.
Yeah.
You can't just shut them up. You can't just tick them off with one message and they run off forever. It don't work that way. That's not the way it is.
Right.
A person who could be upset by one message or two or three or four.
Yeah.
Joe is one who has stumbled at the stumbling stone.
Yes, sir.
Has become offended at the rock of offense.
Yes, sir.
And does not see Christ as their sanctuary. She kept on, said, and he said, send her away. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Amen.
Now let me stop a minute. Be careful. Now don't prejudice your mind. Be careful and not be like some who say, well then, since he wasn't sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, then evidently this woman was truly, indeed, a true spiritual Israelite. No. No. Even in the New Testament, where the Apostle Paul talks about the believer, the Gentile believer's union to Israel, calls us, in that case, a wild olive branch grafted into where others have been broken off. And we partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree.
Yes, sir.
But we still, at the same time, are still a wild olive branch.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we may have supplanted some.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But we are not true Israel. We are partakers of the glory and the grace that comes to true Israel.
Amen.
That's the New Testament doctrine.
Yeah.
In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. Here's the truth. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him.
Amen.
He basically told her, I don't have anything for you.
That's right.
You know that?
Yeah.
But what if she would?
Yeah.
not quit. Yea, she could not quit. Because God had placed within her soul a knowledge, an understanding to some degree that this man and this man only can help me, even if he's ignoring me. And even if he says, I got nothing for you.
That's right.
I have nowhere else to go.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
I have nowhere else to go. Look, then came she. Now most people, they get peeved off and huff and, well, I'm out of here then. Is that what happened to this woman? Mm-mm. And I'll tell you why. Let me jump in. Because she had a faith.
Yes, sir.
She had a God-given faith.
Amen.
She had a faith that cannot quit in spite of adversity and trouble.
That's right.
Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me.
Yeah.
But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. What an insult.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What an insult.
Yes, sir.
But how true.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
But nevertheless, how true. You see, just because something's an insult,
yeah,
don't mean it ain't true.
That's exactly right.
Paul said concerning them Cretans, they're evil beasts and slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply. Well, but Paul, you shouldn't stereotype, because that's what they are. It don't matter what stereotype or whatever, that's what they are. Evil beasts, slow bellies, rebuke them sharply so they can be sound in the faith. In other words, get your blessed emotions off your shirt sleeve. Where every time you wipe your head, you're crying about yourself. No, look, it's not meat to take, it's not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord.
Amen.
Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know what she's saying?
Yes.
God, you're right. I'm just a dog. But I'm your dog.
Amen.
You're my master. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's it. Call me what you will, Lord. It's the truth. I'm a filthy red maggot. Call me that. I won't get perturbed.
Exactly.
Oh, maybe a little, but I'll get over that. Because I realize that I really am. Woman, you're a doll. It's not meat for me to give Israel's bread to you. She said, I don't want the bread, Lord, just the crumbs. Just the crumbs would be sufficient. Look. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great. Great is thy faith. You see that? Two things. Faith. One, faith trusts Christ no matter what.
Amen.
Even when Christ seems to be rebuffing.
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah. Yes,
sir. And that same faith acknowledges what the individual is in and of themselves.
Amen.
Right there is great faith.
Yes,
it acknowledges who man really is.
Yes.
And acknowledges who Christ really
Amen.
Is. And that's where it all starts.
Yes.
You don't have to know much. You know, you don't have to know anything about those great deep doctrines of predestination and election. But this one thing you'll know. I'm nothing but a dog if the Lord says I'm a dog.
Mm-hmm.
But he's my master.
Yeah.
He's my master. He owns me lock, stock, and barrel, David. And aren't you glad that a righteous man regards the life of his beast? Then he said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Now look at it. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt.
Amen.
Now that was coming from the first Calvinist that ever walked on the face of this earth. Jesus Christ himself. Didn't he?
Yeah.
Be it unto you as you will. Why? Because he knew her will was bowed down to his. That's
right.
That's it. What a glory. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
Amen.
What a glory.
Amen.
What a truly a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are what? Cruel. Our gospel's not cruel. Listen, now, people say it is, but that's what men do. They lie about the truth of God, and then they call the lie the truth.
That's it.
Why? Because we hate God in our essence. Yeah. But if God ever breaks that hatred down, oh yeah, every particle will still cry out with pride, Joe. But if God ever breaks that down and gives you a humbled and humiliated heart before Him, you'll find yourself just like this woman. Lord, I've got to be blessed by You. You're the only one that can do it. And yeah, I'm a dog. I'm a dog. That's the way it is. Father, bless our hearts and minds with these truths. Teach us these things, though hard they may be to learn, but teach them to us by experience and not just in doctrine. But I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Joe.
Whose dog are you?
His dog.
That's it.
Now, do I leave this thing on right now, Paul, before I cut it off?
Go ahead, cut it off.
Turn it off.